This podcast is in partnership with Design Biennale Rotterdam, Phoenix Museum, Lack of Guidance, Margreet Olsthoorn, New Institute and Rotterdam Partners, as they all share the common goal to create awareness, share opinions and empower creative growth.
It's nice because you're free to do what you want, but it's the most difficult because you're just experimenting by yourself. Nobody's saying to you, if it's good, you have to do everything yourself. So it's kind of a battle with the canvases. You can ask people that know a lot about it the best ways to do it, but at the end you just have to do it and you have to try it and you have to make your own mistakes and you have to learn and find new ways. With no fundings for my private artworks and all that stuff, I want to be able to say in the winter time, okay, for 6 months now, I will do nothing for anybody and I will just make art.
Today I'm joined by Thelma Pieper, a painter and image maker whose massive murals and studio work have captivated audiences worldwide. Known as one half of Thelma Mule, Thelma has spent years traveling the globe, transforming public spaces with surreal hyper-detailed murals. But behind the large-scale works is a deeper story, a journey of relentless learning, balancing control with creative freedom and adapting to both artistic and physical challenges. Hello, Thelma.
Hello.
Thank you for joining the podcast. Can you describe where we are?
We are at my home at the moment. The studio is very high and big, so it's not the best for recording audio. And now we're in the studio / washing room at my house.
How's life treating you at the moment?
Life is treating me very well and preparing for our projects coming again.
What are you gonna do? Can you reveal a bit?
First one will be doing a mural in Vlissingen, and then USA and Brazil is on the list as well.
That's quite different, Vlissingen.
Yeah, here.
How do you get work or find work, and why the difference between something like Vlissingen and Brazil and USA?
Vlissingen, because we are Dutch, we are in Holland, so in Holland we get a lot of requests from smaller or towns in any kind of nook and cranny of Holland, but also because we know a lot of people in Holland. This guy, Vincent, is also one who joins us at Feyenoord a couple of times a year and know very long time, and he gets us projects like this as well. And all the far away projects is usually because of social media and internet. People find your work, or the people follow your work for a long time. And yeah, usually festivals or events, they are working a list of artists and try to get you into a festival or an event at some point.
You mentioned Feyenoord. What is Feyenoord to you?
A hobby, something that I grew up with as a small kid. For the people who have never heard of it, it's football. We have a big group of friends who love to join and go watch games. And also people that I work with are going and...
Is it important for you? Could you do without if, for instance, work goes more abroad?
No, I try to. Of course, work is more important at the end, but I always try to manage to divide the time a little bit because it's something important for me in my free time. I learned over the years that it's very important to have free time also and to disconnect from the work. And this is the best way for me to not think about work at all. Because a lot of people I go with do the same kind of work or are working for themselves. But once the day has come to go to the match, then nobody's talking about work or thinking about that. And yeah, it's a good way to leave that behind for afternoon.
And why is this? What do you encounter when you don't do stuff like a final?
It's easier if you have a regular job that you go to work in the morning and then go home at night and then it's done. But if you work for yourself, it's 24/7. It's like from in the morning till in the night, in the weekend, it's every day. A lot of people want to ask you about it, want to talk to you about it. So there's a lot of moments in the day that you're busy with work. And it's nice because you like what you do, but you have to learn to switch it off sometimes, especially if you want to keep doing it for a long time.
And you mentioned that you learned to do this. Was there a special situation where you said like, this is now too much, or I need to adjust and find a structure in my life to combine this?
We worked a lot of projects even in the weekends, and sometimes projects after projects with no time in between. So then you travel from one country to another without going home before or living out of the suitcase for a long time. And for the first couple of times, it's very nice and a lot of fun and very exciting. But if you do it year after year, then you get very tired. It takes away from energy, so it's more difficult to maintain or grow in your work field, especially. So to become better in your work, you have to cut on other things so you can still maintain that or grow in it. We learned over the years that it is important to have, and not especially just week, not a Saturday or Sunday, but you need a day off in the week or do something else or make sure at some point in the week you don't work at night or just make sure you have some moment.
Was it hard to first acknowledge this and then secondly to actually apply this? Because I can also imagine that you somehow found what you like and what you're good at, and then you want to excel and grow and become, I don't know, more asked as an artist so that you can do more projects. So that means put in more hours, and then all of a sudden you come to the conclusion, I need to do less to grow more. How do you balance this?
It will not work every time. Like, for instance, now the USA and Brazil thing are so close to each other. It has no point on returning home. It was not very difficult because we just started planning like this and asking people like if there is room in planning the project. Because usually they give you some time frame within when you need to do a project. And you can always say just yes, yes, yes to everything. But just at some point started asking about like, what is the exact days in between which time do we have to work? And most of the time you are a little bit more free in to choose the days in between a certain period. So then you can start planning like, okay, I want a week between the projects. Or it's also because after some point you do well and you have a lot of projects, then you can be more picky. And you can say no to things. So that helps a lot. Because in the beginning, when you need to take every chance you have, then you don't really get the chance to plan because you just take everything. And after some point where you get enough projects and you're just really looking into how you want to become better or do bigger things or anything like that, then you start nitpicking in where can I not cut corners, but make it more sufficient and be better in those things.
Do you feel that you're now in a situation where you have freedom or can control?
Not totally freedom, because you still need to pay the mortgage and stuff like that. But I'm trying to be in total control of picking what I want to do, how I want to do it. Of course, there's more commercial projects sometimes that you cannot say no to, but more and more say no to those kind of things. So I feel like I have a lot of freedom, and that came from all the work in the last years that get yourself this freedom.
Can you explain why you can't decline some of these commercial commissions? Because I can imagine, for instance, money, but there's also many of those who actually don't provide you with a lot of money, but more esteem. Or
I want to be able to pay for all my own stuff also with no fundings for my private artworks and all that stuff. I want to be able to say in the wintertime, okay, for 6 months now, I will do nothing for anybody and I will just make art. And if it happens to be a project that maybe I wouldn't do at the first place, but pays for it that I can be 6 months in the studio without anybody else, then...
Is this also a tip that you would give to other people? What does it give you, such a period?
It depends on what you want to do, but it's very difficult to make like paintings or artworks besides doing projects like murals and those kind of more commercial projects as well, because they take a lot of time, like in planning, in sketching, in actually traveling and doing the work. That it's very hard to combine with making artworks in the studio, because you are going back and forth away to other countries, and you need a certain amount of period that you're just focused in the studio without anybody else. But it's not comfortable to do that if you have to work for the money all the time. So just try to make sure to get enough for that winter period of being able to be in the studio without any problems.
Why 6 months? Why not two or...
Six is not exactly 6 months. Like, it's usually the winter period, and it depends a bit when shows will be, because plan exhibitions. But usually all the mural projects are like from spring till autumn for us. So usually it starts a bit in April and it ends September, October. And there are a couple of projects that are like in December and in warmer countries, but not many. So it's more quiet period anyway for outdoor work. So yeah, that period when it's not so busy for outdoor work, yeah, it's used for indoor work. And it depends a bit on the shows and it depends a bit on the project, because sometimes outdoor projects, they start in February or January already. And sometimes they start in April. It really depends on other projects, and I need the freedom to, I don't have to worry in these months about that I need to do something else as a project or something. I just want to be able to do the free work that helps you in the rest of the year also with new work and inspiration and all that kind of stuff.
Did you worry a lot in the past? Or do you still do?
Not really worry, but I really am a thinker, so I think a lot ahead. But I try to avoid getting into problems, so I think ahead a lot to avoid getting in problems or getting stressed. So yeah, I think ahead a lot for some things, but just to avoid those things.
And what do you think about? How does it work? If you say, I think
about what is the minimum amount of money I need to be 6 months in the studio, and I think about planning the project and how to deal with having enough time in between, and planning ahead with the shows and long ahead planning on which direction you want to be with new work. And there are a lot of things that you can think about ahead, and you don't have to do at that moment something with it, but it's good to think it over a bit so you know for sure that you will make a right decision.
Do you, for instance, have a mentor, or do you have a mentor?
No, I think the way how I think is probably how my parents are, or how they teach me. Like, everybody is a bit different in those kind of things. Like, some people go day by day, or some people are more like me, like think ahead for long, or it depends a bit on probably how you're raised. I don't know. But it's not something that came from a mentor, like how I work or how I think about those things. But it's always a bit how I've been.
What kind of things did your parents teach you?
Like, my father, he worked before, not anymore, but in decor building for theater. He had a technical drawing school, and he was very neat in building. Like, he can make everything in the house and around the house. But he was always very good in planning, like knowing which materials you need, exactly how much materials you need, making sure he has everything. So the day when he wants to do his project, he will do it and it will be clean and perfect and done. And I think I have something of that in me. Like, want to be prepared well and make sure that everything that goes wrong that you already know that could go wrong. So you can make sure you know already, like, thinking about it will help you in the long run. And I hate getting stressed. So I better be prepared so I don't have to stress at all than be stressed about anything.
And your mom? What is her background?
School teacher, well organized, very neat. She is the best memory of the house always. I think I have that from her. So I think I got those things really from them both.
I personally work the best under pressure and stress. Mm. Now, how does it work for you?
Under pressure is good. I like being under pressure because sometimes the best ideas or the best things, they come under pressure. But it's different for me than stress, because under pressure is,
of course,
I have to do it at that moment, but I know I have enough time to do it. But stress is when everything goes wrong and you don't know what to do, and you have no time, or a lot of problems comes at once.
You try to avoid it?
By organizing well, kind of. I think it's not very good for the mental health being stressful a lot of the times. And of course, it will happen sometimes with projects or things, like, it's unavoidable to get stressed. But I hate the stress feeling, so I try to avoid it as much as possible just by maintaining organized and prepared for things.
Can you give an example of a project where you had so much stress that you actually feared for the quality of your work?
I don't have a lot of stress with projects because I've done it so many times and prepared very well for a lot of projects that, there's not many or at all any walls that really went bad. Like, only things I had with Mule that were a couple of problems along the way was with weather usually. And after hundreds of walls, it maybe only was 3 or 4 that was like problematic with weather. So it's like not a lot at all.
You seem to control these projects quite well. And I read an article where you mentioned that at the beginning, when you both started, Mil and you, you start, you learn, and the curve of learning and growing is so steep. But after doing so many of these murals, I think you know where I'm getting at, is that you don't see so much anymore about your growth. That you start to think like, what or how can I still improve, because it's not so much what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So if you're 6 months in the studio and you're 6 months outside and you have everything in control, how do you actually find a way or a cocoon that gives you this extra stimulants to grow? For instance, for me, it's the pressure and the stress combination, because I like it. It works for me. But how does it work for you?
It's not that you have everything in control, but I have in control what I want to be in control of. Because with painting, you are never really in control. And that's the fun part about painting, like especially outside. Like there's a lot of influence of weather on paint, on the quality of the paint, on the area where you're at. It's more that I want to be in control of the timing and all that stuff. But I think in the years after, you try to find other ways to make your paintings better. And in the studio, it's easier because you have all the time. You have no problems with weather. You have no problems with other people. You can just focus on starting a work. And then after 2 weeks or 3 weeks, you can say, oh, this part is not good. I can start over again, or I can redo it, or I can keep it for 6 months like this and then change it. And that's not what is able with walls. You're much more under time pressure because it's usually a deadline of a week or something. And then you have sometimes the weather that doesn't help. So you try to find other ways to be able to become better or put more time. I think usually for work getting better is timing, like time. More time usually can become better. And I don't know where the exact balance is, because sometimes you can go too long on a canvas, because at some point it's maybe already good. But if you keep it too long in the studio and you keep too long looking at it, you can add changes, but it doesn't make it better.
How can you tell?
Having doubts on when to finish it. Sometimes it's difficult to finish something if you have all the time of the world. Like with a project outside, you have the deadline. So it's easier to say, okay, I have to drop the brushes and it's done. Even though you want to work a week longer. But in the studio, you have months and sometimes a year for a work. So then it becomes more difficult to leave it. Because sometimes you make something for a show that it has been there for a year in the studio. But yeah, you change so much in a year that sometimes after a year you think, I hate these colors, or I hate the lighting of this, and you want to change it, but it doesn't have to make it better. So
does it sometimes, although you have like all these months of freedom, does it always give you a lot of relief, or can you also put, well, pressure is not maybe the right word, but I can imagine that you're trying a lot of stuff, and then at a certain moment you're
trying a lot of stuff, but I think it's the most, it's nice because you're free to do what you want, but it's the most difficult.
Yes.
Because you're just experimenting by yourself. Mm-hmm. Nobody's saying to you anything about if it's good, if it's, you have to do everything yourself. So it's kind of a battle with the canvases.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you start something and you go straight for the finish, and I know what I want. And sometimes you start it and it will be a battle, and then or you win or the canvas wins, and then it ends up in the cabinet and you don't do anything with it anymore, or you paint over it after a while.
You sometimes become anxious of the things that you did for a couple of months, and you look back and you're like, what did I do? But then maybe remember it's all process, but still.
I think it's difficult because I think a lot of artists probably have that you always prefer your last work. And even though I don't hate my old works, but because you grow pretty fast and you learn new things and you change a lot in your opinions, you tend to not like your previous work a lot. I always think like the same with musicians making an album. Like they've been working a year or more years on one album. They have listened to every song 10,000 of times. They are sick of it. They delivered a good product and everybody enjoys it. But a lot of musicians, they can't enjoy their own music as much. And I think that's the same with all the work. Like when you're into a new one and you want to finish it, then one big party and then you're finished, you're happy it's finished. But then once you start with the next one, then it's already the old one.
What did you learn the most from the last period that you were in-house?
The most thing I've learned was that it's very important to do what you want, because I had a injury in my hand from doing murals. So my time in the studio was cut back a bit because I couldn't paint as much.
But I was very happy that at the end it went away and I could paint normally again. In a much shorter time frame than I normally would do. But I think really learning things in painting is, you see it later. It's always difficult to see it right away. It took me a couple of years to see what I've actually learned in art school. And it's the same now, like when you compare works after you've done those, then you start seeing more what you've learned. Try new things all the time, but yeah, sometimes it takes a while to really see why you made some decisions a lot of things are just intuition or just comes up in your mind and you don't know why you do it.
And can you also tell during the process? Because I can imagine indeed if you put the artworks next to each other, then you see progress. But by actually sitting at a table or in a chair and then you, for instance, like you say, you attack the canvas and sometimes... But can you also tell during the moment or during those days and weeks that you approach it differently? That you in that way grow? Working towards a work smarter, not harder.
It starts with the organization of things, like getting my materials ready, getting my canvas ready. And before I started really quick with just painting, and that helps a lot in the beginning because you start quick and your head fast. But if you happen to come at a point where you don't know where to go, then you're pretty stuck. And then you have to go back. Then you have to go back on rethinking what you are doing or rethinking where you want to go. So that time you win by starting very quick with something, you lose it at that point. So now the last year, especially also because of the injury, made me focus more time on the whole period before actually painting. Just like making ideas, doing sketches, and the whole thinking about what I want to paint before I actually start painting. I try to make it a bit longer and more of a process than I did before. That helps me eventually to become better in that period because then I have much more a broader idea of what I want to do. Instead of just starting and then, don't know where I want to go.
So if you try something and you find out that you're at a dead end of the street, and you need to go back, how do you deal with those emotions? I'm just trying to find out for you and me, but also for the listener, that the period that you give yourself, like freedom to, but it doesn't actually feel like freedom. And I know it by heart.
That is not freezing.
No, it's like you said, it's one of the most difficult parts.
It's very difficult because you have to get everything out of yourself. Like nobody's saying anything to you, like wake up, go to this, do this. Like you have to, you have to get it out of the thin air.
Do you lay awake at night sometimes that you think like, I believe in myself, I focused on this way, on intuition, it felt well, but I'm stuck. How does this work?
Because it's... In that way... Yeah, that definitely happens. I'm also pretty much a night person. So I tend to work a lot at night, especially making ideas and stuff, because then nobody distracts you or there's no distraction at all because it's quiet outside. Nobody is calling you or anything. Everybody's asleep. But I'm trying to cut back a bit on it and trying to get more into morning persons because the actual painting is nice to do in the daytime and working in the day and relaxing a bit more time at night also instead of going into bed like full of work because it doesn't help very well with sleeping if you work like a lot just before going to bed. If it happens, it happens and I don't want to fight against it, but I try to cut back on it because also it doesn't help if you work all night but then the next day you feel shitty because you haven't slept at all or slept really bad.
Do you have certain habits or systems? Because you mentioned that you, for instance, had this injury on your hand. And you also described that one of, or maybe the biggest inspiration that you have is Aris, also an artist. And he was out for a year. And you described like for 3 months and then, of course, having the anxiousness of being injured longer.
Yeah. It was stressful every time I wanted to paint or see time go by and don't see any changes with the injury. But I'm also kind of guy who doesn't want to think too much about something that you cannot really change because that was the way it was. And I was kind of anxious on how long it will take. Luckily, it was in the winter kind of period, so it was already more not so busy. So this year I was able to do everything I wanted to do. But yeah, I always feel like it would be in my way if I would be too much thinking about it all the time. Like if I know I can do something about it, maybe I would think about more about this thing and see what I can do. But some things are out of your hands and then it's a waste of time to be thinking about it. And I just, what I said, I just looked for ways how I can still use my time wisely. And I focus more on all the prepping and the ideas and the sketching and all the other things and just more the thinking parts of the whole process and thinking about where I wanted to go and invested time also in figuring out other ways to make work, like the 3D works. So I just focused on not what I couldn't do, but what I can do. So that brought me new things again. So at the end, I was pretty happy how it turned out. But in the beginning, it was a bit scary because you're painting every month and doing a lot of things and then suddenly something happens and you cannot do it. And luckily, it's just a small period for me. But yeah, if it will be a very long period, then it's pretty shit if you cannot do what you want to do.
Did you or could you also find ways to prevent getting injured again?
Yeah, doing less work maybe. No, like this is...
Or in the work itself?
Yeah, but that's also something we've been trying because once you get a bit older, you have to make sure you're a bit more comfortable and more prepared also with projects so you can do them for much longer. And I remember going to Morocco a couple of years back and then they actually had like pro sport masseuses and a whole team that was learning artists about their problems after working on walls and stuff and where the pains are and how to deal with it and what to do. Or it made me realize that take it a bit too for granted because it's pretty physical work, especially the mural paintings. So yeah, they definitely made me realize you have to take care of that part as well.
Do you?
More now than before. Every time at some point you get like some back pain at the same spot and I found out this was just of holding my arm the same way every day because I'm holding my phone in one hand and painting with the other because I have my reference on the phone. But once you are painting, you're like in a bubble. So if nobody comes to ask you something, I can be in that bubble for 8 years without eating and drinking and just paint because you're away. So yeah, once your hand is locked in a position and just painting, your hand can be in the same position for 5 hours. Yeah, and when they made me realize, yeah, of course you will get pain in your back somewhere if you have your arm for 5 hours like the same. I was like, okay, I have to actually think more about it, that change your position once in a while, but you have to think about it. And now you know, so you can think about, okay, I've been standing on the lift for a long time, let me change my arm or just try to work without the phone a little bit. And just by changing your stance a bit, it helps you a lot more with walls and stretching and stuff like that. And keeping more fit with training also in between helps a lot.
Do you go like to the gym or a private coach? Or
no, I have some friends who I went to the gym with before COVID. And then during COVID, we went outside and bought ourselves a lot of equipment. And now since COVID, we still train outside 3 times a week. Yeah, and it helps a lot in maintaining this and preparing for doing all the walls and not feel shit after the summer.
Does your work also get better?
Not that the work will get better, but before you do a wall or you do 2 or 3 walls and then you feel like shit, your back hurts and you get blisters on your hands and then having to go to the next one is sometimes pretty hard. But now I don't have much problems with pains or things. And of course, something can happen always, but now I don't have much problems afterwards, especially if you also take care of to have a little bit of time in between and plan everything ahead. And in that way, you can do more and have less problems.
Preparation is half of the work.
Yeah.
I can imagine that if you feel those pain elements and you're standing next to the wall, that for instance, you have a little bit of cramp, you're a little bit out in the bubble, your concentration is away, but the deadline is still at the same date. That for instance, you need to, kill your darlings a little bit.
I definitely try to, like before it was pretty close scheduling. So you have a couple of days between projects, but not really time to stay longer or work longer. And now we have to make sure you have the time if you need it. So that's why I try to
plan like in between projects a bit more space, because at the end it will help definitely your work if you have enough time to really finish how you want to finish. Or if you feel shitty during a project, that you can just say, okay, today I feel shit, I don't want to work till 10 at night. And eventually it will help. So all those things will help improve still the painting process to give you more time for yourself.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be a bit more picky, do a little bit less, but then I take a little bit more time for each project. Mm-hmm. And in that way, you can still maintain the same thing, but become better at those things. I was seeing or reading something about Ronaldo, the footballer, and he found out that his top speed or his starting speed when he starts sprinting became lower and lower than when he was younger. He measured his starting speed of sprints when he was younger and now when he was older. And of course, he was better when he was younger. But to get back at that same point, they measured out how much muscle he needs to lose to get the same speed again. He removed some strength in muscles, but because he was lighter because of that, he get the speed back again of, because for him, the speed was more important. So yeah, that was interesting to see how he can think about how to change his body to maintain the same speed as he had when he was younger. So maybe his overall strength is a bit less, but the speed is the same as before. That was interesting to me to see that's the way how they think about maintaining that for longer.
Especially for this hand control and the back, I would love to see you in a couple of years saying, hey, I found a person doing this, and it's not that I do more work, but it gives me a lot more joy.
I already have a kind of personal trainer. Like, it's a good friend who used to be trainer in football and training like marathon. So he has a broad knowledge of training, and he knows me very well. So if I have problems or if I have questions about some things or something doesn't work very well, then yeah, he can definitely already helps me with the right kind of training that I need. So it is a friend, but it's also like, it's a bit of cheating because it's free personal training.
Yeah, but maybe it's not per se that you get something for free, but it's more that you decided to ask. And then we spoke about it before this interview, that it's sometimes hard to ask, but on the other side, if you do, you can get so much from it.
Yeah, that's true.
And a lot of people have relatives or friends who they didn't see at first to be useful in their personal growth.
Yeah.
Is there someone else where you can actually tell, like, didn't meet this person? Or maybe it's Miel that you met at the Art Academy. How important is Miel for you?
At the Academy, I think we met at like the first day of school. Yeah, we started working together and I saw he was doing graffiti for a long time and I was already interested in it, so I thought, let's go with him and let's just hang out and paint. That was what happened. We started painting since the beginning of the Art Academy and never really stopped with it. All started just as graffiti crews, and I worked with other guys and had graffiti crews and did all the jams and everything in our spare time. Like, we were skipping classes because we just wanted to paint, so instead of going to school, we met a lot of times in between in Delft, at the Wilhelmina Tunnel, I think it was called, because you can paint legal walls there, but it's in the tunnel or outside. So you can, if it's the weather is nice, you can do it outdoors, or if it's shitty, then it's indoors. And we went there every week, skip one of the classes and just paint. And then after having all these crews and big groups of graffiti guys, we started painting together as a duo just after finishing art school, and then figuring out what to do, like being schooled in doing illustrations and learning painting ourselves. We started doing a lot of illustrations in the beginning, but really wanted to just paint, and we just continued doing that. Yeah, years of painting helped us, because then in 2012 or so, it started becoming a bit bigger to paint murals again. And we knew a lot of people and we started traveling a little bit for festivals and stuff like that. And from there on, it grew and grew and grew into traveling and painting murals. It has been a lot of fun traveling together for mural projects, because it's easier to have more fun if you're traveling
not alone, but with somebody else. Also to discuss things when you're there. If things go wrong, you have somebody else to talk to about it, or there's always a bad or a good cop and you can change those. Just before COVID, we canceled the studio we had together because we were away so much that it hadn't really had a point to pay for a studio. But then COVID happened and then we were stuck at home. And we both started doing more personal or private work in home because we weren't in the studio together. And also enjoying it because, yeah, after a long time you get more maybe different opinions or more, you like different things. And we always, in general, like the same kind of stuff. But there's differences, especially after a long time of doing stuff. Then you get differences in what you want to do and what you like to do. And that's why in the studio work, we are both trying to find our own way and try to find or do something else also to change it up again and try to learn new things and do something totally by yourself. But then, still enjoying the project together because we will be going together to USA. And I will be going to Brazil by myself because he will have a show in Denmark. So yeah, we're still doing projects together. And sometimes we do two projects together in one wall, or sometimes we do the same project and have two separate walls. It just gives a bit more freedom to express your own things.
What binds you and what sets you apart in personal inspiration?
I think the way of working, what we were talking about, like I already have in my head what I want to make. Like I think about the ideas. I almost already know what pictures I have to make before I touch the computer at any moment. And Mew is much more trying to find it with images. Like he needs visual content to come up with ideas. Or I do it only in the head before I start. He starts and then figures it out. But I do a lot of the work inside. So I think that's a big difference. And it's, especially if you work long together, then you grow to watch each other also. So sometimes I will do something he would prefer to do, or he does something I would prefer to do, or other way around. Mm. Or it grows a bit towards each other or away from each other. And that's something also we have no idea because we've been working so long together that you have to see what happens if you don't work together at some point. So it's just to see what happens with the free work. Like I think it will take some years, but after a couple of years you will see much more the difference in aesthetics or in ideas or that kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also interesting to see because that maybe also brings something that changes our work that we do together. But yeah, you always have to find other ways or new ways to reinvent yourself because you don't want to do the same thing over and over again.
Well, some people do.
Yeah, but we don't like that. No.
Keep pushing, exploring. Yeah. After 10 years, you did your first solo exhibition called Entangled. Why this title, this theme?
It was a leftover from the after COVID period. I had the feeling I wanted to do something as a sculpture and a 3D statue. And it was a painting I did during COVID. The idea of it, I like to do it in real life or make a sculpture out of it. So it was a painting from that period. And from there on off, when I was doing the sculpture, I was making the other works around that. Entanglement fitted nice because I like the entanglement of like painting people in any way I like to do. But the entanglement of people I liked, especially after COVID, when we first started going to Feyenoord again. At the very beginning, we still had like QR codes and the stadium was not filled and it was a bit strange. But then later in the year, it got normal and normal again. And at some point, people
being overcrowded.
Again felt really strange. Also in the bar, because usually I hated it when you go to the bar and it takes an hour to go to the bar or the toilet because it's too busy. But at that point, I was really enjoying it. And it was the same in the stadium. Like usually, I hated it when you cannot go down the stairs to go to the toilet because it's too busy. But right at that moment, I was very happy we were able to do. It was a bit strange and an entanglement because it was kind of something I hated, but also something I really love to see again. And I still have the same, like sometimes I hate being in an overcrowded place, but sometimes I still think back about it and I'm still happy that we're able to. And that's something I wanted to put in those pieces, that entanglement of those emotions of the positive and the negative sides that both work in the same realm. I was kind of happy being on myself because it, I think everybody had at some point, like, he was happy, like he didn't have to go to birthdays, had some time for himself. He had, you were not allowed to go anywhere, so you were just chilling at home. But on the other hand, you really missed doing those things. So it was a bit of a contradiction of enjoying it a lot, but also hating it. So it was a bit strange. And I tried to capture that in those things, like the entanglement of those things.
And it was your first exhibition alone. What kind of feelings did you had during the process from the moment you knew you would do it? And
it's not really different than the show before. That's why I also chose to do it really as a solo. Because what I said before COVID, we already stopped having a studio together. Neil was working at home. I was working at home, working our shows. And we really didn't know what we were doing. Only we came up with the title of a show and we know the planning when it was, but we're just at home focused on our own things.
Mm-hmm.
So the last show that we did together at Kirk was kind of already two separate solo shows into one together. And especially because aesthetically our work fits well because we work the same kind of way. So the whole show worked. What was also a bit surprising because we haven't seen each other's works at all, but we already worked it kind of in that way, especially not having the studio. So the working way of working alone was not very different. The only thing was very different is you have to make more work because you're doing it alone. You don't fill a room with two people, you fill it by yourself. And then I had the problem of not being able to paint really for 4 months or 3 months.
Was it hard or easy or just okay to not fly the world?
No, I love not flying the world then because I think last years we tried to be more picky and don't do too much. Also put more time into your work. But usually, we do one or two projects a month. So at some points we were away for like 6 or 7 months spread out over the year. So yeah, that's a lot.
You were doing a mural somewhere and an old lady came out and she said, "Oh my God, not this wall. It's so wide. Don't make it dirty now." And that Neil got very emotional as a reaction because that was not your purpose to do so. And you were like, "Okay, I'm going to ignore this." And Neil explained that you are more rational in such a moment because you experienced it way more often. You already knew which road it would go. Is this also something that you learned over the years and developed a certain habit that you ignored it? Does it even get to you anymore or is it just your personality?
I think it's quite personality, but I said it comes down to it doesn't help you at all to worry about those things until it really is a problem. And especially we've seen a lot of things, many things, the same time, the same reactions, the same kind of people. So yeah, at some point you pick up on those small things and until it will become a real problem, then I will just see how it goes. And
what is a real problem? When do you actually tune on and think, okay, I need to listen and focus on this one? Because you did hundreds of murals.
A real problem, I think, was in Finland when we were doing a wall and they approved the sketch. But a lot of the times they approve a sketch, but they give you some freedom in changing things along the way because sometimes the wall is a bit different or maybe something fits better. So long as it's not really making the whole overall piece different, then it should be fine. But one time we changed a dog or an animal at the wall in Finland and they thought it would be fun to put a webcam so people could live stream our painting. But it was a bad idea because the city council and people of the organization was following us live and they saw us making changes. And so far we never had any problem with any changes, but in Finland it's a big problem. If you approve something, then it has to be exactly that. You cannot change from it anymore. Even though it's art, it's touched the way how it went there. So they called us right away when they saw we were changing it and we had to stop. And they have to go to court and city council and all that crap to get it approved again before continuing. So there was a big hassle because you don't know how long it will take and you don't want to stay too long because you have a next project already. So yeah, that's something that happened one time. Most problems that we came across, that was just a couple of times, is the weather issues, like murals washing away when you just finished the day or those kind of things. But yeah, and people complaining, like there's always some people complaining, but then after a week when you finish they come crying back and they like it a lot, so I don't care about it anymore.
A lot of people, especially older people, they're a bit afraid of change. And sometimes in the bigger cities, it's easy because people already know murals and all that stuff. But we tend to pick a lot of small towns also because it's a lot of fun and also nice because those people, they haven't seen malls at all. And it's something new for them. And also for us, it's new because you go to places that nobody goes. But yeah, or for some people in smaller towns, it's very scary.
Mm.
And then, yeah, sometimes people, they are afraid of what you will be doing because they have no idea. And then when you finish, they are happy.
I can also imagine that you, around the job, experience a lot of things that, God forbid, or that you find quite amusing or whatsoever because you travel really the world. Can you describe one thing that pops up where you say like, well, this, if I would write a book, this would be in it because it's too crazy?
A lot of stuff. A lot of strange things happened also because there was a lot of different countries. But I think one of the things that so far it will remain in like the top five, it was a project we did in Missouri, Loose Creek. And it's like in the middle of nowhere. We had to fly to St. Louis, Missouri. And then from the city, we had to like drive 4 or 5 hours to a small town. But it was like a real small town with like one church, one school, one police guy, 10 houses. So we were world famous there.
How did they find you?
We were working with a videographer from Australia and a company from New York, like a video company who was doing a video project. And they want to do art or making videos about art projects, about farming in the States, turkey farming. And we ended up working or painting on a turkey farm in Missouri. But we had no idea with who we were working with and where and stuff. And we just ended up in the middle of nowhere with this American Christian family who had like 8 kids and 14 grandchildren. And a super nice farm. They were all there when we were there. Like it was a really big family. And all the grandkids, they helped on the farm in the summer. And he had like a tractor with like a train behind it. So all the kids could go along with him on the farm. Eating fried catfish. And he was like catching snapping turtles. It's like giant turtles. And they were in his pond on the farm. But it was dangerous for the kids to swim. So he shoots them. And then he boiled them in like big pots. And then he cleaned out the shells. And then all the kids were running with like real turtle shells on the back around the farm as ninja turtles. It was just really strange and funny experience with these people because they were so unknown with anything outside of Loose Creek. Like they were asking us questions about the United States because we have been in more places in the States than themselves. They were so nice and we stayed there every day for eating and drinking and playing, and we painted on something for them on the barn. What was kind of a surprise for the guy we were doing it for. So there was like a reveal at the end, a surprise reveal of his new barn. But we painted him as a younger person, like as a kid, with a giant as turkey, with a really big as turkey. It was like 2013 or 14 or something, very long ago. Yeah, it was just a really funny, crazy project with a lot of people around it. And we had been to the States, but it was like the first time I've been to the middle of nowhere in the States, where yeah, no tourists would ever go. I remember we had to fly to New York, and from there we had the layover, and then the customs. They asked us when we arrived in New York, because we had to get another flight, like, where are you going? And we said, Loose Creek, Missouri. And this guy from customs was like, what the fuck are you going to do there? And he was like surprised that we are going there. And I was like, I have no idea. But yeah, we ended up in a strange place that I will never forget. It looked a bit like Holland because it was pretty flat, but it was crazy having the art teacher and the police and the school kids and everybody came by and get to know the whole town in 1 week. Wow, it was really funny.
So you described that you're quite a planner. You organize a lot in advance. Would you ever do projects unplanned in such a way? Because you said, I didn't know where I would end up. It describes to me a little bit that you didn't prepare so much in details than you would now. How much of the surprise element is there still for you when going to new places?
Oh, there's always a surprise because a lot of the places you go, you have never been.
And I always like also to pick some of the stranger places because it's new and you don't really know where you're going in Loose Creek. It depends also with who you are working with, because at that time we were working with an organization that I knew very well. And then you know, doesn't matter where you will end up, they will organize very well. And that's also something that's different, because after a lot of years of working in this, we have a lot of organizations we work with also for 10 years or longer. And I know exactly how they work, how they organize. I have no problems at all. Some places I don't know anybody. And then it's a bit more scary because you don't know what to expect. But then you have to prepare for some scenarios. Because you already know if you go to Kazakhstan that the conditions are different than working in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have to make sure you prepare for that. Like material-wise or weather-wise, or like in Georgia, I went to Tbilisi in the summer and I knew it was going to be hot. It was even more hot than I thought, but I picked a much smaller wall because I thought, okay, if I go there in the middle of the summer with a huge wall alone, it will be a problem. So I just make sure that the wall is doable in any kind of weather. And even though I picked that, it was still really hard because it was like 40 degrees, then you kind of plan ahead of knowing, okay, if I go too big, it will be a big problem. Also because you have no idea how the food is, how the lifts are, how the hotels are, and those kind of things.
Why do you do what you do?
Because I cannot do anything else.
Did you try?
No, I don't really want to try anything else. No, I think I can do other things. I know I like sports, I like football, I like animals. I think I could find, like when I was really young, I was thinking about doing something in biology or art, but art was my main thing because I already was always making stuff as a young kid, so it got stuck.
Back in the days, you seemed to see high school as an obstruction because you already knew what to do.
Yeah, I think it was useless because I guess not useless in the basics, but there's a lot of things that you put time and effort in high school that I will never, never the rest of my life will use. Like languages is good,
mm-hmm.
especially if you communicate and travel. But like math, I will never use math for anything. It's not my thing. I finished it in high school at the exams. It was good. I have no idea anymore what I learned for, because you just, in high school, you learn for grades and it's useless. Like everybody can learn something in a short amount of time and do an exam, but then you forget about it. Only things that you like or you care about or you use, that's useful. But also, like if you learn a language but never use it, you will lose it.
But how do you know in the beginning before you do it or during the process?
Yeah, but I wanted to be a painter or illustrator. I already knew, so why do a math?
Well, sometimes it's good to do something else to get the confirmation that's
the
right path.
Yeah. Why do you do it then 4 or 5 years and not to be like 1 month and see that's just shit? Like, I think like for some people it's difficult because a lot of people, they don't know when they're so young. But I think if you are young and you know, you can gain a lot by already putting much more time in those things that you like. If it's a language, or maybe you do like maths, but then put more time in that and don't do creative lessons or biology or something. Mm. Like
10 years ago, you were interviewed by many media about kiddie arts that you made. And Vice, but also The Guardian, they all wrote about it and it went all over the internet. Now, 10 years later, you come up with the show for Entanglement. Telmo Pieper is high on the imaginary list of famous artists that no one knows. Over the past 10 years, as half of Telmo Miel's duo, he has gained international fame with towering hyper-realistic murals. When you already had a bit of fame 10 years ago, and now in a positive way, because the interview with this quote is longer, it's not negative. But then being an artist of a list of people who you don't know, what does it do with you? Would you have been happier to be a more well-known person like your friend Felipe Pantón, who's actually going a whole different direction?
No, I don't care about it at all. Like, the only thing I care about is doing what I want to do and then doing what I love to do. For the rest, I don't care about what people say or think. Or like, you need to be known a bit for being able to do this, of course. At the end, quality will always be known and remembered and especially nowadays, it's just about followers and likes and that crap. And people tend to just work to get that. So quality is low. They don't even do what they want. They just do because Instagram tells you this works. And that's like useless. That's totally useless. But everybody is now focused on that. And I know so many artists that are like the best in the world in what they do. They will be in the museums. They will be in the books. But it will take a long time before people recognize it. But it will always end up being known because it's the best. And nowadays it's just easier to fight some stupid trick or do some stupid real trick and getting known on TikTok, but it doesn't say anything. Like likes or views or anything is wordless. It's totally wordless. Like people making money out of it, but for me it's totally wordless. Like I like people that follow you and enjoy your work and comment on you, ask questions and that kind of stuff. But yeah, nowadays it's just food for people. It's just consumption of things. And
what kind of a tips would you have for people who think like
don't care about that at all? Like,
but how
you have
how
to
then
do what you want to do and be good at that, and then the right people will find it.
Is networking important in such a way? Because you can't do networking on your studio and then sit and wait.
No. Network is important. And it's important and it's a good tool to show online because it helped us a lot. Because without internet, we wouldn't be traveling the world. It's definitely internet's thing. Because somebody from Missouri now can find you all the way around. So yeah, it has good things. But especially now, because in the beginning years of social media worked how it should work. It was like people follow you, people see what you do, and it was really real engagement. But now there's like a competition between all the big social media companies, and that thing kind of flew out of the window, and it's just about getting the views, and it doesn't matter how it gets there. So they're destroying the whole ecosystem of like persons at home being able to having an audience, because I see people who have millions of followers and people don't see their shit anymore because they don't make reels or they don't make the same kind of movie as everybody wants to see. Or probably they will find another way or something, whereas the internet is still here and it's still the best way to get your work out there and people follow it and people be able to continue seeing your work. But I think people are too much focused nowadays on seeing like followers and thinking, okay, then he must be good. But that's shit. That's useless. It's not like, it's not true that people with a million followers will be better musicians or better artists. It's just kids on Instagram mainly that are triggered by some things or by Instagram, that it's not like that one post gets less than the other, that then it's shit because you have no control over who sees it or what sees it. And I think people are much too worried about that.
Do you feel responsible for your generation and the next?
I don't really feel responsibility. I think everybody has their own responsibility, but I think for not for this one, but maybe for the next one, I do feel a bit responsible. But we have to do it all together, so you cannot really. It's unhealthy to have it all on your own shoulders instead of. Yeah, it's something we all have to do. And sometimes it really feels pointless in thinking about it if there's a lot of people in the world who have never think about it or have any responsibility. But no, I'm not particularly busy with responsibility of other people.
Do you share a lot of your knowledge and your techniques, for instance, in education or being a mentor yourself?
We had an intern one time, but never really have a lot of time for really internships or persons like that. But my studio is always open and people always, when they really want to come by, they can come by. And when we're doing walls, also people, yeah, we're on the street, so people always come by and ask questions. And I can always tell you what I think or how I think you can do it better, or if you need any tips or help or anything. It's no problem for me to talk about it at all.
Would you like to be a teacher?
I like to help people in that way, but to be really a teacher doesn't work with this work, because if I want to be a teacher, then I need to do fully the teacher thing, and I don't want to be a fully teacher. It's not doable really to do both very well. So I've done like one-time lessons, or like I had a friend who worked in the art academy as a full-time teacher, but sometimes he had a project and then he called me like, can you
go for an hour and then it's fine. But full time, no, I enjoy too much what I do now. And I don't mind teaching people things. But I think also in art, it's not really something you teach. Like you can ask people that know a lot about it, like the best ways to do it. But at the end, you just have to do it. And you have to try it and you have to make your own mistakes and you have to learn and find new ways. And of course, you can learn on tips I gave or somebody else gave you and help you ahead a bit. But at the end, all the mistakes make you how you are now and form your work. And if you skip all those things, then I'm not sure what you will have.
Some A or B do or die questions. Are you more rational or emotional?
Rational.
Traditional art tools or digital technology?
Traditional.
Become the most well-known and respected artist on the planet? Or, from now on, sell out all of your future museum exhibitions?
Sell out the museum exhibitions.
Never the thrill of doing a mural ever again or never do an art exhibition at a museum again?
Then never mural, I think. Yeah. Because I've done so many and it's getting more time for studio work at all. So museum have murals also. I'll paint murals in the museum.
Have your work permanently featured in the most renowned museum in the world or have your work integrated into every educational curriculum worldwide?
Then the museum, I think, yeah.
Have unlimited resources to create any art piece you ever wanted to do? Or have the ability to collaborate with an artist or designer you prefer, but they get the credit?
All limited supplies to make what I want.
Lead a 6-month workshop on street art for underprivileged youth with artists of your choosing, or design a 1-piece public art installation for the main hall in the Tate Modern Museum, which will stay there for 6 months.
Only 6 months? Yeah, the Tate, I think, yeah.
What made you doubt?
If it would be for Rotterdam, I would be sure. I think that I would like to do something like that here at some point.
Like what?
Like a big outdoor statue or something that will stay forever here.
Mm-hmm.
That's the walls, they tend to fade away and some stay longer than others. But some statues in the city that have been there forever since I was young. And they are still there and they will still continue to be there when I'm gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think it will be nice to do something like that in your own hometown.
Is there something like a caretaker for murals? Because for instance, with Pete Oudolf, he designs a garden and then there's a team on the spot who keeps them for years.
It really depends on the organization and the country and the funding. But some places, they have their own like cleanup people who take care of it. And we have been a few times back to projects to clean it up ourselves or to fix a wall. But yeah, some organizations they do. Here in Rotterdam they do. And the organization, we work in Belgium as well and in Norway. And yeah, a couple of places, they really maintain the walls. But yeah, you cannot maintain them for hundreds of years. It's still an outdoor wall. But there's people that do it. But some places you don't need to attend a lot because it also depends on like walls fade quicker near the sea, walls fade quicker when they're in the sun, all those kind of things. So when it's like in far away from the sea in the shadow, then the wall tends to stay very long. But I think it's also part of it, like it fades slowly and it gets more into the surrounding area.
Follow a structured plan or go with the flow and see what happens.
A structured plan then.
Your work is appreciated posthumously, like when you're not here, or your work is recognized now but forgotten after you retire. And this may be interesting for the statue that you...
But it's not so much about that I'm recognized after. It's like, it's just...
How much do you value this?
Not at all. Not myself as a name, just the artwork itself. Like when I was a kid, I have no idea who Picasso was, but I knew the statue here in the city. And that is with a lot of other things that has been there so long.
Mm-hmm.
You still have some kind of connection with it, but you don't even know where it's from or when it was there. And
do you see yourself as a personal brand?
No, not really. No, it's not really a brand. And it's not so difficult. I'm just somebody who wants to make stuff that I like and other people hopefully like, but not really a brand, something that you would wear or something. Yeah, maybe hang on the wall, but no, brand feels a bit too commercial for what I want to do, what I'm making.
The last question, your work seemed to have transformed or adapted quite a lot, because back in the days, if I'm correct, the color uses were quite vibrant and dynamic, and now it's quite different. Is there a special reason for it? Because how it feels to me is how you speak to me.
Also because you want quality, and especially walls, bright colored walls, they fade very quick. So then you deliver a bright colored wall, but the next year it's gone, and it didn't feel very good to me. And sometimes I still see people using colors that I know will be gone in 6 months, and still they do it. So they have no intention of making something that stays a bit longer or people can enjoy longer. Or we still try to make it very colorful in a way of different colors, but it's much more muted. So these walls stay much more the same for a long time. And it's the same with the canvases and all that stuff. And I do like to see brightly colored stuff. Museum work is a bit easier, or studio work, to make it properly so it will stay for a long time. But outdoors, it's very difficult with weather conditions and sunshine, and then using bright colors, it will fade quickly. And yeah, it's a shame when you see somebody's painting and then after 6 months it's changed a lot. Sometimes it doesn't even look the same anymore because it changed really a lot if the colors change. Like some colors just turn gray.
When you make these murals, it affects the community and the neighborhoods in emotions, in architecture. Does it make you feel disappointed or even a bit angry when you see these artists with these quick projects and short impact, and then that it fades away and that the people living there need to accept the change?
I think everybody can do what they want, but I have my opinions about it. Like I know people who paint just for the picture, so the quality when you're close to it is not good, but he always makes the work so it looks good on the picture, and he doesn't have to go further than that because he has the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that's not the point. I want to make something that is also nice to look at from close and not just for the picture online, and those kind of things you see around. But a lot of people, they put a lot of effort in it. But yeah, there's a lot of people also trying to cut corners in different ways that I don't like, but people also still enjoy those kind of works and don't mind it, and that's fine for me. But I just don't want to be the one that makes something and then people say, oh, look, nice wall, and then and 3 months it's gone.
Mm-hmm. Are you in a place that you hoped to be in?
I'm always excited for the future. I'm always excited to make new things and doing new projects. Especially now when I'm also putting a lot of my extra time in the 3D stuff, learning about sculptures, learning about different materials, working out how to create my 2D works into a 3D space. So it adds something new again to the whole process. So I'm excited about that. And probably the 3D work will change also my painting 2D work. So it's a new direction again, who gives you some new energy and some new... start in something else. And that's something I think it's important, that you try to find new things and push yourself into learning new things and make sure that you are still happy in what you do and that you like what you do. That's the most important, I think. If you don't like what you do, then you have to stop straight away.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was my conversation with Telma Pieper, a deep dive into the mental and physical demands of an artistic career and the balance between structure and creativity. Telma reminded us that art isn't just about what you create, but how you evolve. From his early graffiti days to international recognition, his journey highlights the importance of embracing discomfort, trusting intuition, and knowing when to slow down to grow. We also explored the hidden challenges behind large-scale murals, the mental discipline required to work in solitude, and how planning ahead can create more freedom, not less. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to click the follow button, rate the podcast, subscribe to the newsletter, and spread the word, so we can continue to grow the Don't Waste Eye podcast. And remember, everyone struggles, and that's okay. But standing still prevents you from growing and reaching your potential. Keep moving forward, because the better you become, the more you'll inspire others. Don't waste your time, don't waste your eye.